listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 190. Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the highly caffeinated and sugared John Brownstone.
Yeah.
That's a double whammy right there.
Yeah.
All 32 ounces of it, I think.
This
week, we're going on
a rant. Keep me awake while you're ranting.
No, my rant will keep you awake. Can I tell them what I'm ranting about, please?
Yes.
Thank you. See, it's not just me who interrupts. This week, we're going on a rant about some of the gross, non-consensual things people do when they're single and trying to impress, turn on, or convince someone that you should be their kinky partner. And let me say that again, maybe not single, but they're out there looking, so they can be part of other relationships, but they are looking and they are doing gross things that violate boundaries, and we are going to rant about it. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, lovingds and the number one, lovingds1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. As always, a big shout out to our kinky patrons on a Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We will be doing our monthly special patron only live stream this weekend.
Yes.
Where we answer questions from our kinky patrons.
Uh-huh.
And we enjoy that.
Yeah, we do. I look forward to that.
Yeah,
I like it.
We really
get some good questions.
We
both
do.
Personal and lifestyle.
Yeah, because we take and we are okay with BDSM questions, but also it's sort of an ask us anything. So people ask us questions about how we see certain things and or what's going on with us. So it's fun. If that sounds interesting to you, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords for as little as $1. Okay, so two things before we get into the topic for this week, which we need to do this now while I'm calm before the ranting begins. One, a reminder. For vanilla gift giving, pins, bowls, shaving sets, oh my! John Brownstone's site, thewooddom.com, linked in the show notes for podcast listeners, linked in the description box for video watchers. 20% off sale, site-wide, use code FALL19, good through October 16th, so if you're starting to do some of your holiday shopping, or not even holiday shopping, you just want to buy something nice for somebody. You got an anniversary coming up, a birthday coming up, that kind of stuff. TheWoodDumb.com, coupon code FALL19. Second, we are sponsored this week.
Yes, we
love
are.
Love it when we get sponsorships. It's a little bit of validation, y'all. I'm just saying. And we are sponsored once again by The Cage, which is thecage.co. Again, podcast listeners, the link will be in the show notes. Video watchers, link in the description box. They are an online BDSM community that is run and built by kinksters, by people who understand the lifestyle. They wanted to make sure that we made it clear so that you understood that they do not just cater to any one specific type of group. So male dom, female sub, yeah, of course, there are groups for that. People who are into femdom, LGBTQ, how do I put that without sounding like a douche? If you fall within the LGBTQ spectrum, whether you're kinky or not, there's a group for you. Let me see. I have notes, y'all. Y'all know I suck at this. I don't know. I'm all proud. And I was like, I will remember those notes. Anyway, the big takeaway, the really, really big thing I want to make sure everybody knows is they are offering 2 free weeks of their premium membership if you use code LOVINGBDSM. Loving BDSM. When you register, you cannot use that retroactively. It's only on new registrations, and they do not ask for payment information. Like, they're not asking for your credit card when you sign up for a free trial, which don't we all hate that? I always get caught with that kind of stuff and get billed for stuff. They don't do that. So if you're brand new to it and want to try out all the features, go ahead and sign up for the premium. And then when the 2 weeks are up, if you don't want to upgrade and stay at that premium level, you're not getting charged anything. Okay. They gave me information and I thought, I will remember that.
It's okay, baby girl.
Femdoms, LGBTQ, kinksters, poly, 50s households. Like, wherever you are on the spectrum, I have seen caregiver little there. Daddy dom, little girl, caregiver little. Have I seen mommy and little? I'm sure I have. So no matter how you identify, they will have forums or chat rooms or groups that you can find and get to know. They also take great care in sort of monitoring that stuff. So people who, scammers, bots, and as they put it, scammers, bots, and bad guys, they keep out. So thecage.co, thank you for sponsoring this week. Mm-hmm. Use code LOVINGBDSM if you are registering for the first time to get your 2 weeks of premium membership for free. And then if you decide you want to maintain premium membership, it's about $8 a month. So thereafter, but that is up to you. Okay, thecage.co. Okay, I'm done with that part. I'm done. Thank you, The Cage. We love them. They are amazing. Now I have to find my screen. Okay. And also in the live chat for the live stream, we just got called Starbucks traitor. No, I just didn't have the 30 minutes to drive there and back.
If anyone who has anything to do with Starbucks is listening to this, if you want to put a Starbucks closer to where we live,
I am so
down with that.
I would live there.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to get into this episode. So, because that only took us 100 years. If you're still here with us, we love you. You're a super fan.
The editing.
So I want to tell the story, not as it unfolded for us. And I'm going to do my damnedest to not use genders or any specific identifiable information to protect the privacy of our friend, but also because I don't need some bad act. Character coming after me later saying I said mean things about them on the internet. So let's start from where the story, where we got, this is a, I told you there's a subplot. The subplot is what starts first. Okay. So John Brownstone comes home. He's found a new kink group to go be a part of. That's great. He comes home and he says, hey, I had this really great conversation with this person. You might remember them from another group we went to. And I'm like, vaguely. Because that particular time I went anywhere, I was not in a place for socializing, so I just kept my distance from people. John Brownstone says, this person seems pretty cool. We had a good conversation in amongst other conversations with many other people over 2 hours. It was not as if John Brownstone and this person spoke for 2 solid hours, okay? At some point in this conversation, this person says, hey, I'm holding a private event, party, play thing. You and your submissive should come. I think you're fine people. You should come. So John Brownstone, who is eager to be doing things in the BDSM community locally, comes home and says, hey, I got this thing. Let's go do it. Now, I know that my default response to let's go somewhere is usually no. So I temper all of my responses knowing that. Like, I'm very careful. I don't immediately go, I don't want to do that, right? But John Brownstone's telling me this. And I'm like, okay, so this is a private thing where it's... And he's like, yeah, it's vetted. Only people this person is comfortable with. And I'm like, but wait. This person got comfortable with you after a 10-minute conversation? I said, now, we know we're safe people. I said, but how... What if everybody else who's, quote, vetted only had one 10-minute conversation? Who are these people? How do we know this is safe? Also, I'm an anxious person who doesn't like to leave the house. I barely want to go to the houses of my friends, like my good, good friends. And John Brownstone's like, let's go to the house of somebody that's a total stranger, at least in my mind. So I said, look, so I'm not saying no, even though my head was totally saying no. But I didn't feel like I had a good argument for why. I just knew that something didn't sound right. Like, that just did not sound like the environment for me. Because we have some really good friends here locally now and then where we used to live. And even if they were like, hey, Kayla, come to the house for this thing, I would still have to be convinced, because that's social anxiety, but still. And there's this relative stranger, like, to me, a total stranger. I'd never had a single conversation with them. I'm like, that just, can we just think about that? Can we just like put that on the back burner? So that is the subplot we're about to get into later. Fast forward. We meet for coffee with a good friend who we really enjoy spending time with. We close the Starbucks down every time we meet.
Yes.
For coffee. Every time. They are turning the lights out around us.
shushing us out the door.
I have learned to warn the kids, hey, we're going for coffee, and it'll be about 5 hours you'll before never we see come us back. Again. And we're talking about all kinds of stuff. It turned into a therapy session for me, because I was like, let me tell you. It was literally, so how are you? And like the floodgates open. I was like, bleh, verbal vomit. Sorry. And in the course of this conversation, we did not even talk about this invite. We did not talk about this party. We did not talk about this person. In the course of normal conversation, the person we're talking to happens to mention this person. And says, yeah, well, yeah, I know them, have conversations, blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, and not even in a OMG, let me tell you, gossipy way, just as a, like they were reporting on the weather. Yeah, they have this habit of, I have to shut the conversations down every so often because they have this habit of sending me pictures that are inappropriate of parts of their body and begging me to dominate them. Excuse me? Now, we have this information that this person has like gotten chatty with John Brownstone, and John Brownstone's like, they seem like a great person. Let's go to their party. And I'm over here going, something's not right, but I don't know what. Maybe I'm just a bitch who doesn't like to go to people's houses. And now, unprompted, we're getting this other information. And we're finding out that the first time that our friend met this other person, not even knowing them, that person who is now sending non-consensual gross pictures of themselves is saying things like, oh yeah, I'm into this. Oh yeah, I'm into that. You should see me when I've got this on and that on. And it's gross.
Yeah,
and
no,
I'm looking at our friend going, this was, you had never met this person before? And they're like, no, that was the first conversation. And I'm like, what the hell? Now, I don't want it to be too shocking, as in, this is the first person who's ever done this. I know what, I kind of know. I know from listening to others what the world of people looking for partners is like. I mean, non-consensual dick pics are a thing in general. You don't even have to be looking for anybody and you get those.
Yeah.
The thing that I think really bothered me, it bothers me when somebody doesn't ask, violates consent, violates boundaries, just in general, just out of nowhere. But most of us are spend so much time on the internet, you don't like it, but you kind of go, yeah, I should have expected that. The thing that really bothered me about this particular moment was that our friend is saying, yeah, every so often I have to tell them to like cut that shit out. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And then they do and they calm down and they start talking like a normal person again, you know, chit-chatting about whatever. And then they ramp it up again. And I'm like, so you have, first of all, you shouldn't have to make your boundaries clear to not receive that. But once you make your boundaries clear, it's now, to me, it's even worse that it's continuing to happen. Like, I'm pissed. I'm pissed on behalf of all people everywhere. And I think most people can probably infer the body types of the images coming at our friend. And the worst, not the worst, there's no worse, another bad thing about this is that this person heard our friend say that they like to play with a specific type of toy and they like to be the one wielding it. It's an impact play toy. And they assumed from that one statement that our friend was dominant and was perfectly happy to just top and dom anybody. And so threw themselves in this gross, non-consensual way as a submissive person. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Because first of all, just because you like playing with a specific toy does not make you an automatic top or dominant. Also, you don't, if you're a single or a looking for a partner submissive out there, please, please do not assume somebody's part of the slash, one. And two, even when you do assume or know, please don't throw yourselves at them without them like wanting to catch you. Like if you're going to throw, make sure they're there to catch whatever you're throwing at them, right? Like that's just the epitome of grossness and creepiness. And it's the kind of non-consensual behavior that the most telling part to me was this. I'm sitting in this Starbucks, my jaw's on the fucking floor. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What the hell? That, I'm like mad. I'm pissed. Not surprised, but I'm mad. And our friend is like, it happens. It happens all the time. I don't even notice it anymore. And that's the thing that pisses me off, because I know our friend is not the only person out there who's going through that. Mm-hmm. I know that whether you're kinky or vanilla, there are certain people out there who push and push and push and push, even when you've made it clear, even when you're trying to like not talk to them, even when you haven't made it clear because they didn't even fucking ask first. That's the thing that pisses me off, too. It all pisses me off. And it's just sort of shrug-worthy to a lot of people because you expect it. You know it's going to happen. Maybe not everybody does it, but enough people do it. And I don't think, I think there's a certain cisgender that is more guilty of it than others. But I have watched female submissives, female women launch themselves at a person without asking if they could first. We've seen it in your DMs. And
oh, yeah.
It's one of the, yes. One thing that I have seen that I think is different is most of the time, I know for you, when you shut them down and go, no, or you just ignore them, everybody's going to have their own response to that. They don't keep coming. And that's
true.
Kind of a scary thing. That's certainly a predatory thing to not only do it without the consent, but then to keep doing it over and over again when it's been made clear to you. And here's how you can know it's been made clear to you. They didn't say, hey, I like that. Keep doing it. So even if they just, if somebody ignores it or gets awkward or ignores you, they don't even have to boldly say, please stop fucking doing that shit. Because not everybody's comfortable with that. If they didn't go, hot damn, send me more, stop fucking sending shit like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, I get so mad. I'm not surprised. I'm not even like disappointed in humankind because I know it happens. But I'm hot and sweaty right now. I'm so mad.
Well, you know, the thing that you were saying about what I get in my DMs, you know, I am a flirt online. I like to flirt. And also, it is no big secret. I make it well known that Kayla is my wife. She's my baby girl.
Right.
And it always gave me a good chuckle with some of these messages I would get. You know, the one I remember most fondly is the one who said, yeah, you be with me, you'll forget all about her.
Okay.
No. I don't think so, Tim.
Bless their heart.
Yeah.
Bless their heart. And but the thing, it's bad enough to do it. And we talked about this. We've talked about red flags of doms. We've done a little bit of red flags of submissives. And I hesitate to try and like spew some stuff out there about male submissives in general. But I have been observing things lately. First of all, conversations that have taken place between somebody who I will not name, unless they would like to name themselves. And also some femdom friends that I follow on Twitter who I greatly respect. They're you know, heads are on straight. They're pretty solid people. And what happens is that just like I get dick pics from strangers, some of these people that I know get messages from male subs who are like, I want to submit to you. I want to serve you. Here's my list of what I will do. But that's not a conversation about negotiating limits and boundaries. And
not so much a list of what they will do.
Or that what they want the dominant to do. Yes, I'm saying
what
that
they
wrong.
Want.
What they want to be done to them.
Yes.
Not does that dominant want to do that to them. But this is what they want. I mean, it is the class, is the probably the only really good definition of topping from the bottom. Because it's like, hi, total stranger dominant person. You may or may not be dominant. I've just decided you are. I am sending you this message that I have mass produced and sent to 50 other people that caught my attention. Here are the list of things I would like you to do to me so that I can show you how much I would like to serve you. And it's all unsolicited. There's no conversation ahead of time. And then, of course, every once in a while, one will slip in and fool you. And they'll start off the conversation like, you know, a human being trying to get to know another human being.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it does start getting not serious, but like into the kinky details, then they either ghost or they issue their list of demands. And I'm just saying, it's not a red flag in the sense of it's that dangerous, like some of the behavior from air quote dominance can be dangerous because the dominant is usually physically doing the act that it has control over the submissive partner. And so therefore can cause harm, but it is absolutely a red flag of, am I dealing with a submissive person who actually wants to form some sort of power exchange and submit to me as an individual, or am I just a placeholder for their fantasy dom? And I have a feeling that is a lot of it.
Yeah.
So, in the course of all...
And for some reason, that seems to be prevalent with male submissives.
Yes, it does. And I know somebody's going to come up with not all male submissives. We know.
We know that.
But not, enough of you.
But there that, there are...
Seem, it's a stereotype
there,
now.
There seem to be a plethora of them that are like that. And I know there are some male submissives who are...
Not at all like that.
Not at all like that, who are totally genuine.
Like, just like I have ever been trying to figure myself out, they're trying to figure themselves out and find the right partner. And some really decent guys that have kind of come and gone through our sphere have gotten freaked out and scared because just like we are all fighting against our society, what society has taught us and what our parents taught us and what religion taught us and whatever, these guys are having to fight against that too, and it can fuck you up. But that kind of reach out to a dominant that you don't know with your list of demands of what needs to be done to you thing is on the same spectrum as I'm going to assume you're a dominant in the middle of our perfectly lovely vanilla little conversation. I'm going to send you a picture you did not ask for.
And
even when you tell me to stop, I'll keep doing it. Fuck you in the horse you rode in on.
Tell me how you really feel.
Oh, God, it pisses me off so bad. And so, I'm ticked on behalf of my friend who, God love them, is just shrugging because they know that if it's not this person, it'll be another person. They told us a story of how a dominant, who apparently is respected enough in whichever community that was, because it wasn't like our community, to be given some responsibility in an event, got all up in our friend's space in a way to, maybe they thought they were being playful and in their domliness and intimidation factor is a big D, but I'm sitting there listening going, that's gross. Like, you don't need to get up into my space and get real, real close to me and try and give me your best big D look and crowd my body.
No, I'm allowed to do
you
that.
You are. Yes, I consented to that shit. Please do it more often, quite frankly. basically begging for it. But a stranger or somebody you, like an acquaintance that you kind of know, also fucking gross. And I would immediately lose respect for that person.
Yeah.
So the one nice thing that came out of this is I looked at John Brownstone and went, you're not still interested in that particular event, are you? I was like, no.
No.
I said, because I know all I need to know about that person.
Yeah.
They're not safe. I don't want to be around them.
I had met the person twice. The second time was when we talked more in depth than we did the first time. And outside, they seem, okay, someone I probably would want to get to know a little better. But then after speaking to our friend, our mutual friend, and hearing that, and this person, this mutual friend of ours, I trust her implicitly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it kind of floored me to hear that. And to hear that they had to, or have to, consistently tell them to respect boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, whoa, this is not...
Right. I mean,
this is not cool.
It's bad enough if somebody did it once and you felt safe enough and comfortable enough going, stop that shit, like to say it once. But the fact that it would repeat after that, after it was made clear on some level. Yeah. So there's a subplot here beyond just the we're not going to that fucking event. Thank you very much. John Brownstone had a moment of growth. So... Because I pay attention to stuff even if I never talk about it. I was well aware before Twitter tried to tell me about it, that when people speak up about sexual harassment or non-consent or boundary violations or just some of the stuff that happens out there, I'm well aware that most of those people who speak up are not believed. Especially if the person who is being accused of that behavior is known by people. And that I have seen it happen in the BDSM community online. I have not directly seen it happen in my own community, but that I know that doesn't mean anything. It happens. I've seen it online. We've seen it in vanilla spaces. It happens everywhere. It is not a kink thing. It's not a vanilla thing. It's a people thing. So I know that. So when we got home And I'm like, still, steam is still coming out of my ears. I'm so mad. I'm mad on behalf of my friend because I don't want somebody I care about to have to go through that bullshit. But I also don't want anybody to fucking go through that bullshit. It pisses me off. So, anyway. Especially now that there's this person who apparently is either helping to plan events or planning events. And that's who they are. Ugh. So, there's no words. They're just now guttural noises. So we get home. I've finally kind of taken a breath. It might have been the espresso. I don't know. It didn't. And I said, okay, I have a hypothetical for you. Okay. I said, and it's based on real life things. It's not hypothetical like I pulled it out of the fucking air. I said, what do you think your reaction would have been? I said, no. I said, let me back up. First, two questions. First, you know this person. You had an opinion of them. Mm-hmm. You also know our good friend, whom you have known longer than I've known and have a decent relationship with, a pretty tight relationship with. Who do you believe? And what I was very proud is his immediate response is, my friend, who I've got a relationship with and I trust, and I believe them. And I'm like, okay, good. I said, now here's the hypothetical, because this hypothetical is real fucking life every day. I said, what if our friend was not our friend and it just was another kinkster in the lifestyle that you knew as much, as well as this person, or maybe even less well? Mm-hmm. Who would you believe? And to his credit, he spent some time thinking about it and said, I hope I would believe the person who told me that. But I can admit that there's a chance I would doubt it. And that's the thing that happens in life all the time. Somebody comes forward to just talk about bad behavior, not anything where they, you know, need to call the police for, but just bad behavior that made them uncomfortable, made it hard for them to like be in a space. They just wanted it to stop, and everything they're doing is not making it stop. And people doubt them. And so then therefore the rest of us learn, oh, maybe I shouldn't say anything because people will doubt me too. So the takeaway lesson I want for anybody who's not in that position, you're happily in a relationship right now. You know, have already got your methods for shutting down the non-consensual boundary breaching stuff. Mm-hmm. You're feeling pretty safe. You're feeling pretty good, right? Yeah, I got it. I get it. I mean, the stuff I get, I can easily block, mute, ignore. It's like, I hate it, but I'm like, fuck it, right? Like, it doesn't, it's not, and it's not happening to me in a one-on-one. I'm in a conversation with somebody that I thought might be cool, and then they're doing their shit. So I'm in a very lucky place. But for those of you who are probably in a place like I am, what I would beg of you is to listen to the people who are speaking when they are telling you these things. Mm-hmm. Okay? The chances of somebody making an accusation like that and it being false are so fucking slim. They are so fucking slim. Second, and this was the conversation John Brownstone and I got into when we got home.
Yeah.
Just because somebody's creepy with one person does not automatically mean they're creepy with every single solitary person.
Yeah. And
that is sometimes the perfect cover. I could be creepy to this handful of people over here or these potential strangers who may never say anything. And I can cultivate my friends over here. And these friends think I'm a great guy. So it's like creating your own immunity.
Well, and like you said, which was a point, and I'm going to hope I can repeat this back correctly. The point that hit home with me is that they were perfectly fine with me, very congenial, intelligent conversation, likable, as you put it, because they didn't want anything from me.
Exactly. I mean, because we were having conversations with that person seems to have, we hope, in a, quote, friendly way, befriended somebody else who is also outwardly submissive. And our first thought was, OMG, is that person doing that to them?
Mm-hmm.
Or, oh, is this another person they're cultivating and being perfectly okay with? And the sad thing is, and I don't want to be an apologist for people who behave this way, I think there comes a, because society and culture fuck us all up on some level, but there also comes a point in life that we are now responsible for our own actions and our own growth and our own learning. And when somebody clearly states, don't fucking do that, that's not a hard thing to figure out. You go, okay, I won't do that anymore. Maybe apologize if that's, you know, the thing to be done. But a grown person who continuously does that over and over again, and only with specific people, I mean, you would almost go, well, if they're doing it to everybody, it's some sort of weird self-control problem that, you know, I'm not here to try and diagnose, but they're doing that to everybody, so maybe there's something else going on we don't know about. No, selectively. Yeah. Selectively doing it. The other thing that John Brunston and I talked about, and I am not saying this is what happens to other people, but I know me and I know my experiences. There are people out there who will push against your consent and push back and keep trying and pushing against, cross those boundaries, waiting to see a reaction. And they're doing maybe not everybody takes it this way, so I'm trying not to speak for anybody else but myself, but it's to wear you down. It's that maybe you'll go, fuck it, yeah, fine, yeah, sure. Or that you'll just stop telling them no. And if nothing else, they get their rocks off because they've got this outlet. The person's not saying anything. So they somehow decide that the person not saying, hey, I love this, thanks, is invitation to keep doing it. But it is sort of a, and I feel this way, and I know this might not be 100% of the time, but my view is it's this more often than not, because in other ways, I've experienced that myself. My ex-husband spent 6 months of basically text message warfare just trying to get me to wear me down and get me to cave on things with just a barrage of stuff that I didn't want, even when I told him to stop. And sometimes telling him to stop was invitation to keep going. And I don't understand the mind of a person like that. No. I'm not trying to tell you what all that means, but I do know that that can be one of the elements of it. And so these people are scary and dangerous. They would probably say they're not, oh, it's just a picture. Oh, it's just conversation. Really? But how does it fucking make me feel? Does it make me dread opening my message app? Does it make me dread having to be near you at another event because this is a community and we will run into one another? You know, I don't know. Now, my way of handling it is to, because I did this with the person in our old community, I can be in a room with you and you'll think you're invisible because I'm not even looking at your ass. Like, you do not fucking exist. To the point it made that other person like a little like, are you going to say hi to me? And our dog does it. So you make the eye contact and I don't want to make the eye contact. I'm looking over in the opposite direction, as if you were not there. My eyes can just move right over you like you do not exist, because to me, you do not fucking exist, because I don't really want you in my space, but it's a public access thing where there's no vetting required, so yes, you can come.
The ultimate Scorpio bitch, and you pull it off very
shit,
well.
Yeah. So I don't feel bad for this individual, but if it bothers that person, somebody does that to them, they might be bothered.
Yeah.
At a future event, I don't know. Now, some people say, what do we do about this? And I'm not smart enough to have the answers. I'm not. I think we call it out when we see it. I think we believe people when they tell us. I think the community has a way of policing its own. And these things, if we can talk about them when we feel comfortable with people we feel comfortable with, you can kind of vet them out and of the spaces so that people maybe stop going to their events, or they are not invited to other events, or when there are times where it's like, fuck, they're in the same space that we are in, you watch out for the people that they're talking to. Maybe you check up on them. There are all kinds of different things, and there's no one answer for any of it, especially with something that some people would go, well, that's minor, that's nothing. My untrust and ask goes, well, that's where the fuck it starts.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the gateway shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the, I'm going to see how much I can get away with. Oh, I can get away with that. Okay, let me push a little harder next time. Oh, nobody's really paying attention to me. Let me push a little bit harder. And next thing you know, like, really bad shit's going down. And I'm not smart enough to have answers.
No, it's tough. Answers? I don't have any answers, but several people mentioned touching in the comments. And, you know, another one taught some, Marianne, I think, mentioned about consent and consent being hot. And consent can be hot during a scene or, you know, doing
kinky fucker. It can be hot when you're flirting, too.
But, yes, when you're flirting.
I'm not a good flirt.
But consent goes way beyond those, or even before any of those. I'm a hugger. Anybody who knows me in real life knows I love to hug.
Because you're a toucher. You like to be touched.
That's my love language, my primary love language. And I do. I love to be touched by someone I want to be touched by.
Right.
Okay.
I would worry for the person who tried to touch you and you didn't want to touch them. You're not a violent human being, but I can see this being the moment. Like the Hulk.
But even at munches, okay, and I know people have boundaries, and you have to respect that. You have to respect...
You have to automatically assume people have boundaries. Yes. First of all...
Spanking, the gateway to kink.
Yes, it is.
But anyway, before, you know, I was at a new munch, and I did not really know these people very well. I shook a lot of hands. There were people who did not want to be hugged. And I had people that I did have enough of a conversation with. They asked me, can I hug you?
That is one of the things I love about the majority of the kink community.
Yes.
That because many of us are so cognizant about we don't touch without permission, that even as simple as, may I hug you? Now, what I find funny is even in munches, most, especially guys, whether they're dom or sub, doesn't matter, most guys will ask him, John Brownstone, if they can hug me. And I'm over there like, yes, no. You know, I'll answer. Because I am fully submissive, if you can't tell. But it is, for the most part, one of those spaces. The people I would watch are the people who don't ask first. Right. Sometimes it's a lack of education thing. It's not that they're, you know, evil people. They just haven't been taught that.
Some people may not know.
Not yet.
Right.
But
I mean, I would kind of look and see, well, how new are they to the lifestyle?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay.
But even me, I will not hug somebody unless I ask and I have permission.
Right.
And if they say no, I'm not going to do it anyway.
Well, and see, you, this is one of the many, many, many things I love about you. You don't do anything with another human being until you know you have permission. So you do not text with somebody until you know you have permission.
Mm-hmm.
You do not send them certain information. You don't share certain details. You do not, there's like a lot you don't do. And I know for anybody kind of new to kink that's still kind of in a vanilla mindset, or people whose kink has been confined mostly to an existing relationship at home and there's not a lot of, you know, interaction with a kink community, online or in person, these are not lessons that will feel natural to some people because we live in at least U.S. culture and Western culture in a society that, especially in America, where it's the idea is you're supposed to just put yourself forward. You're just supposed to say things and instead of, you know, stopping and asking and making sure things are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people have to unlearn the lessons that society taught us. And I try to be very forgiving of that. But I do go back to the idea of we are all grown ass people around here. And at some point, somebody has told you no prior to this kinky community, so therefore you should know how to handle this. But I digress. Somebody did mention, I think it was Eva, I believe, in the live stream comments about needing another, and I'll happily give it to Eva, reminder that the vast majority of kink spaces are safe. And they truly are. There are times, and there are exceptions to that, of course, because there will be bad apples in any group of human beings. That's just the nature of humans. And what I have found is a lot of these bad actors will do stuff where nobody's fucking looking. So it won't happen in an event. It'll happen in your DMs, you know? It won't happen while you're there. It'll happen some other time when the person feels kind of comfortable and safe. So please do not let this scare you away from going to munches, going to a club, going to play parties with people you feel comfortable with. So here's what I said when we were talking about this particular event. I said, if our friend, who is the one who ended up telling us these things, is going, I will consider it. Because one, I would know somebody there. And two, I trust their judgment. They've been in the lifestyle long enough that if they feel comfortable, if nothing else, I could feel comfortable being around them. And then if things got weird, I know we'd all be like, psh, we're out, let's go. I'm not here for this shit. So, though, it's, don't let one dumbass put you off the entire community. The vast majority of the community is pretty good about this. We are all at different stages of learning, though. Mm-hmm. So some of this, if it was just a one-time thing and they backed off on, oh, shit, sorry, you know, you are totally forgiven for still not liking them and being annoyed with the behavior. But if they had to be reminded once and could stop, then I would say that's an education issue. That's a, they've still got some old bad habits that they have not outgrown yet. It's when you've, and that is something you're going to find everywhere. So I always say, y'all know I talk about this a lot, when you go into a space, kind of, how are you feeling? Beyond anxiety and nervousness, you cannot listen to anxiety and nervousness. You got to go deeper than that, because anxiety will tell you you're asked to go or not go in the first place. But are people friendly? Are people looking you in the eye when they talk to you? Are they asking for things like, may I shake your hand before they touch you? May I sit here before they sit? If you're getting those kinds of vibes, then you are, excuse me, you are probably in a pretty good group. You're probably in a pretty safe group. And the first place to start with that is a munch. For the brave souls out there who want their very first kinky outing to be at a club or a play party, good on ya. But you're going to have a lot of other dynamics at play you're going to want to pay attention to. But yeah, I would not be afraid of the community. I would just be very leery of individuals, because sometimes we get a vibe from somebody and sometimes we don't. I mean, John Johnston's vibe is usually pretty good, and even his was on the fritz. And I couldn't trust my one vibe from a like one 30-minute outing where we sat across like 10 feet apart from one another, because I, that particular time, that one time I met this person,
my Peter Tingle wasn't working.
Your Peter Tingle, oh Lord. You just really rendered me speechless. I was in a bad mental space that day, so I wasn't vibing any fucking body. I thought everybody was like, get the fuck away from me. So I wouldn't even trust my own vibe. But I was wanting to trust my vibe about this event. Because something, I was like, really? Something's off, and I didn't know what. And then the moment I start getting more information, I'm like, oh, okay, there's my vibe. My vibe, my vibe is telling me something. So that's really long. I'm hot and sweaty. I don't know if anybody else is hot and sweaty with me.
I'm hot and sweaty on your behalf.
Oh, okay.
Now, Cheeky Meg brought up an interesting thing about coming from a European background where everybody hugs and kisses.
Yeah, I had to get used to that a few times, and I've been not here.
And my mother's side of the family is Italian.
His mom always wants to kiss me.
And I grew up where you just get passed around, being hugged and kissed. All right.
Because see a little baby child brownstone getting passed amongst all these Italian ladies.
And that's just the way it was. And that's how, and growing up, that's how I thought it was. Everybody gets a hug and a kiss.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because if you're not raised anything different, you don't know any better. That's what you think.
And it wasn't until later that I was out on my own.
You went, wait, I should not be hugging and kissing the whole world. I should not
be doing this. And yeah, it was a learning curve, and it was something that you know, did take me a little, you know. You know, I'm so sorry you're not Italian. You don't like to be hugged. You don't like to be kissed. What's wrong with you?
That was some random culture shock. We were not married yet. Yeah. We were not engaged yet. His mother, little Italian lady, was meeting me for the first time and was, and she's little. Like, she's short.
She makes me look like a giant.
I know. You are like one of the tallest in your family. He's 5'6", y'all. And she's dragging me down to her little old lady Italian lips for a kiss. And I am Southern through and through. I know other regions of the country are raised this way too, but it is a Southern stereotype that we, especially women, are polite beyond fail. We'll let you pour mud on our head and smile and say thank you, because our mamas would kick our ass if we were anything other than polite.
Yeah.
And this was one of those times I was like, why can't I be a rude bitch? I do not want to be kissed by this lady I do not know. And she's, we have not seen her in ages, but every time we do, I'm like, oh God, how do I avoid? I finally, this is the same way I avoid like grabby hand people and overly touchy people who think once they've hugged you once, they then get to hug you every time at Munch's. They're nice people, but sometimes even nice people I like, I don't want to be hugged. I just sort of stand behind Jabra Azzu's shoulder.
Yeah.
And I make it clear there's a body, but you're going to have to get through him to come hug me. And most people don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I do that now with my in-laws. I'm like, let me just stand behind Jabra Azzu. They'll have to knock him out of the way. And yes, there will be somebody out there who will go, you know what? You should just say you don't want it. Well, that's real easy to say. Yeah. And sometimes it's really easy to do, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's not. There's a lot of factors at play. There's your own comfort level. There's the dynamics. There's all kinds of stuff. I'm not here to judge anybody who does not immediately speak up for their own boundaries. I do not always immediately speak up for my own boundaries. I use much more subtle things, like placing a physical body between me and the other person.
The human barrier.
You got to jump this barrier. How badly do you really want to hug me? Oh, not that bad. Okay, good, 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 good. Then sometimes it's funny to me, because sometimes I have people who I adore so much, I would just cuddle with them, and I'm not a cuddler. I'm a Scorpio bitch who's got a 3 feet of personal bubble thing going.
Yeah.
And there are some people I would just hug all over any chance I got, and they're the really polite ones who are like, can I hug you, Kayla? I'm like, bitch, get over here. But since there's no way anybody can keep up with fluctuations that are my brain and my anxiety level, I just smile and go, of course we can hug. I mean, one of our really, really dear friends that we moved away from, and that makes me sad, she would do that. She'd go, can I hug you? I'm like, bitch, what? Come here. And then we would cuddle, usually in a parking lot, because we'd had lunch together. So it is strange, and it is hard. And if you were the person who is in that situation, you might not always know what you should do and how you should speak up, or if speaking up will really help, or what's the best course of action. And I am not going to judge you. I will say that when you feel safe to do so, please say something, either to the person, you know, ideally to the person if they will listen to you and stop, but certainly to somebody you trust, if nothing else, so that you're not having to walk around with that, keeping it to yourself. But like our friend told us, it happens so frequently in their life with multiple other people, and just the way people casually just like go, fuck boundaries, I'll just do what I want to get the attention I want, that they kind of just shrug it off now. And that also made me really mad, because I'm like, but I want our community to be better than this. But also, our community is made up of people.
So, you know, Meg mentioned, you know, make the grandkids go first. But even that's a problem, because the kids may, you know, while one kid may want to be hugged and is okay with it, the other one may not. They may not be a touchy.
I had to overcome my entire Southern upbringing. And not even Southern. Again, I know it's not just regional. To teach myself to stop forcing my children to hug and kiss a family member just because they're a family member. And something about it didn't feel right when I was like, go hug your grandma or whatever, when they really didn't want to. And I was like, this makes me feel icky, but also this is how I was raised. What? And I must have read just the right mommy blog or just the right article, and something clicked for me, and I went, I'm not fucking doing that anymore. I don't care that that's how I was raised. It's kind of gross. And this is long before I knew about kink. Because here's the thing. Consent issues, boundaries, it's not just a kink thing. It's a life thing, okay?
Yeah.
Kinky people should be, we all should be good at it. But I think, in general, kinky people should be better at it, because we spend an entire portion of our relationship lives thinking about it, talking about it, practicing it. But that doesn't mean that, you know, non-kinky people are incapable of it. Of course they're capable of it. And so, I stopped when the oldest was probably about 4 or 5, which is right about the time his brother was born. And I'm glad I did, because his brother is the one who is like me and is not people-y. He's like, I like 3 people on this world and that's it. And the rest of y'all can go fuck yourselves. He's just too young to say that. Because,
yeah,
as he would say to me at 10, now, Mom, that's an inappropriate word and I'm not going to say it. But that's kind of his attitude. He's mm-hmm. he wants to hug his grandma. He begrudgingly hugs me sometimes. Sometimes he, like, leaps on me and hugs me. But sometimes he's like,
meh.
Fine. But I don't even force it there. So it's just a big complicated issue.
It is. And it's sad.
But it's important and we've got to talk about it.
It's sad and it is important, you know, and it's upsetting to think that this kind of stuff occurs in the community. But I think really what it comes down to, you know, just like back in our old community with certain people, you have to police your own.
You do.
You know, you really do. In some cases, not all, it could be, you know, a newness thing, someone new to the lifestyle. They don't know. We you know, it's a matter of educating.
It is. And that's why it's one of the many reasons we have to keep talking about it.
Yes.
Because we have to make it,
yes.
We have to normalize it. We have to make it clear that you don't assume anything about the person you're mm-hmm. interacting with at a munch, at a kink event,
yeah.
online. Ask.
Mm-hmm.
Ask.
Right.
And it is simple as just asking.
Yeah. We talk about it so often, you know. Oh, gosh, I just came in blank. Safe, sane, consensual.
Yeah.
You know. RAC, risk-aware consensual kink. All these things, there's PRIC.
PRIC, personal okay. responsibility, informed consensual consent.
Right.
Kink.
All of them have one thing in common. They all have consent
and
in
the,
there.
The thing is, though, is that the community by law, mostly, is really good about consent when you're ready to get kinky. We're getting better about consent when you're ready to negotiate your power exchange. I mean, there's, we know those people sliding up in mm-hmm. DMs and there's some bullshit and some air quote DOMs. And yes, we know.
Yeah.
But in general, the community as a whole is mostly decent about that, or at least yeah. on the path to learning. But where we forget is...
But that needs to be brought back into the personal aspect mm-hmm. of it too. All right. Because we all have our own personal boundaries as far as where we are as people and what is and what isn't acceptable. Mm-hmm. And people need to understand that those boundaries need to be
right and
upheld as well.
Sin said this in the live stream comment that they would prefer people err on the side of formality rather than assuming. And I
yes.
agree completely.
Yes.
It takes 2 seconds to ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
May I shake your hand? May I sit here?
Right.
Can I message you on FetLife? I mean, here's what I'm like really appreciative about a lot of people that we deal with online. Because online it is even easier to relax it so much that you just like barrel in and forget somebody's boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
We get people who ask us officially in FetLife, can I send you a friend request? First of all, you don't even have to ask just if you're out there.
Mm-hmm.
You can always send us a friend request. But I always do appreciate that because even if I think it's unnecessary, I recognize what they're doing. They're making sure it's okay. They're checking for
right.
consent. They're not assuming that they can just cross that boundary
mm-hmm.
line. It is as simple as 2 seconds
right.
to ask a question.
I have ones that message me, especially cis male DOMs. I'd like to send you a friend request, and may I send one to Kayla as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I prefer it that way because I will not, on FetLife, friend a cisgender male dominant that is not friends with John Brownstone, because that is vetting to me. John Brownstone is, in the best way, the nosiest motherfucker I've ever met. Also, in a literal sense, he is a motherfucker because I am a mom. And so, if you friend request him any fucking where, or you follow him any fucking where, let me promise you, he has combed through your profile. He has looked at every picture you have posted. He's looked at the comments you've left. He's looked at who your mutual friends are. He's the nosiest motherfucker I've ever met. And so if a cisgender male dominant friend requests me, like on Fet, that's our example here, I immediately go see who's our mutual friend. Oh, your friend. comments with John Ralston, all you have to think about it. Clicky click. Okay, friend accepted. If you are not, I let that friendship request sit. I don't immediately ignore it or anything. I let it sit. And I'll check periodically. And I don't know why I do this. This is way more labor than I really have to do. But I will. I'll leave it there. And I'll go, because our schedules are different. And I'll go and I'll check.
Yeah.
And I give about 2 to 3 weeks, because he is in FetLife every fucking day, y'all. And I'll go check. And I'm like, oh no, still not friends with John Brownstone. Ignore. Yeah. Because you have bypassed the whole process.
I love the ones
and
who...
And then they're not vetted.
Who... And I've looked at a couple, and I have to really laugh at this, that have send you a friend request, and I go and look at their profile, and all their friends are women, okay, and every single picture is their penis.
Which, you know what, you are welcome to, on your profile, wherever those things are even allowed to be, you are welcome to put your penis all over the place. If you have a vulva, you are welcome to put your vulva all over the place.
Yeah.
Then we get the choice to not have to look at that shit all the time, I'm just saying. So I'm not going to knock anybody who does it, but yes, yes, after many, many years online, you kind of go, only those friends and only those pictures?
Here's the thing with that, again, okay? Yes, you're right. I am on FetLife a lot.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Lots.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But what I have noticed, all right, yes, there are a lot of women who do not want to receive those dick pics.
And then
and that is their right.
Sure.
Okay. And that is just like a boundary that should be maintained.
Of course. I don't think anybody would argue with that.
There are also a number of women out there who are like,
right,
send it,
but here's
I
the
want
thing.
To see it and but they agreed to want to see it.
If you're not sure, and you can't possibly be sure until you've actually had a conversation, you ask.
Right.
You ask. Jennifer made an interesting comment in the live stream chat about how we need to not apply our rules of consent to the vanilla people because they don't necessarily have the same protocol. And I, on some levels, would agree. Like,
yeah,
if I go out to lunch with my vanilla friends, I do not expect them to ask John Brownstone if they can hug me first. They don't know my dynamic. I do, however, still expect any human being who wants to come near me to pause and make sure I'm okay with it. And it's a failing of society in general. Now, part of it is our growing understanding and further conversations about consent.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that vanilla people don't even think they have to make sure it's okay to touch a person before they touch a person is a failing. And so, therefore, I would rather educate my vanilla friends in a kind way.
Mm-hmm.
But some consent rules should apply. Even if they don't, because the vanilla people haven't learned this stuff yet, it doesn't mean that they're not capable of learning it and that we can be the ones who help them discover
boundaries. Rara made a comment that consent is not a kink issue.
No.
And I agree with that 100%. No. It is not just a kink issue.
No.
It is a humanity issue.
We have two boys who we have taught from a very early age, you don't touch people who don't want to be touched.
Right.
You do not force anybody to do anything they don't want to do. Consent is consent is consent. We talk about it differently depending on the dynamic.
Yeah.
Like the kink consent is typically very specific. Dating consent in dating and relationships and sex, regardless of flavor of sex, is finally starting to get more airtime and more conversations. We're still kind of in a bubble about it. I assure you, my conservative family members who've lived in the South their whole life are like, what? Like, we hadn't penetrated that bubble. We are still a little bit in a bubble here.
Mm-hmm.
But it is becoming more and more of a topic that is getting, I hate to say the vanillas, like I'm not trying to classify, but non-kink people are starting to be aware of it. Right. Many of us as parents are raising children to understand the basics of consent and boundaries, and everybody gets to have boundaries, and we have to be able to talk about that. And I don't, like we said at the earlier in the early part of this episode, we all come at from life with the way society has taught us to think about things, where parents taught us to think about things, where religion taught us to think about things, and a lot of things have to be unlearned, and you have to be willing to unlearn those. Some people are not willing. and keep going through their life the way they are. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean that we can't talk about the fact that you should ask somebody before you touch them. You should ask right. somebody before you assume anything. Mm-hmm. If somebody tells you point blank, I don't want you to send me a message like that. They don't even have to give a reason. I just don't like that. Don't do it. Then whether you're teaching yourself or reminding yourself or you just know, then you respect that. That's a boundary that's been set. And that is not at all a kink thing. That's a human thing.
And you know, it was brought up in talking about flirting. Excuse me. Sorry about that, folks.
That's how you know it's live, y'all. Yeah.
You know, the flirting. And like I said earlier, yes, I'm a flirt. I love to flirt. And I am no different than any other human being. I can get carried away.
Sure.
But I'll tell someone, if I cross a boundary, please tell me and I will stop.
Right. Right. And that's the hard part because, like I said earlier, I was raised to be, like a lot of people, a lot of women especially, to be really, really polite. I don't speak up when I'm uncomfortable. I worked for 7 years at a company where it was just sort of expected you would hug the people that walked in because it was a membership association. And so there were 10 of us on staff and 3,500 members. And at any given day, you could see 100 different people walk through that office and half of them would want to hug you because that's just what we do. And I am not a natural hugger. But it was the culture of the place, and there was nobody who was going to say that I didn't have to. If I had made a fuss about it, which I didn't even know anything about consent or boundaries at the time, I just knew it made me uncomfortable, I would have been the weird one, right? Because we were all just sort of going along. Because most people, it was okay. You kind of liked them. It was weird to hug somebody you didn't know and a grown-ass woman, but okay. And then there was the guy who creeped people out. He was a member for 20 fucking years, and he creeped people out every one of those 20 years. And he started getting inappropriate with his hugs. And finally enough of the women on staff went, I'm not fucking hugging him again. We were having to do that side thing, find ways to not, like it was gross and awkward. And finally the boss put down his foot and said, our people don't have to hug anybody that they don't want to hug. And it was because of somebody inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Go back to my main point where I started that, other than to go on another rant. Sorry. I was raised in a way that did not teach me that it was okay to speak up and go, I'm not fucking hugging you. Now, of course, in a business office, I would not have said it that way.
Yeah.
But there was no, I did not feel like I could kind of get out of that. I had to endure or grit my teeth. And by the end of it, by 7 years, beyond the creepy dude that we dealt with, I was so used to it. I didn't love it, but I was used to it. Mm-hmm. It didn't even occur to me to say anything, even though I was uncomfortable. And I think that is going to happen to most of us. It still happens to me now. My upbringing is still deeply ingrained. When I'm around my mother, my, oh my God, be polite at all cost thing is still in effect. I am really non-confrontational. I will not say something directly in a lot of situations to avoid the conflict and the confrontation. And that is, I think, the reality for a lot of us. So we end up putting up with a lot that we don't want to because we don't know how or we're not comfortable saying something, which is why these conversations are so important in this way, because then we can educate each other. Then those of us who are comfortable know we have some standing to say something, or we can support the person who's uncomfortable, or we can educate the person who has never had to think about consent until they went, oh, I'm fucking kinky, let's go learn about this, and everybody's screaming consent at them. But the lessons of consent in BDSM transfer across to all parts of life. Now, the way you handle them might be different between your kink life and your vanilla life, but they are a part of all of it. And we, you know, none of us are going to be 100% perfect at it all the time. We should always err on the side of asking when we think of it. Apologize if we have crossed a boundary that, you know, that we truly feel sorry that we've done. If you are listening to us and you're like, oh, shit, I've fucking done shit like that. Okay. You can, if it's appropriate, meaning they have not asked you, please don't contact me again, or you come across them in a social setting. You might want to consider apologizing for past behavior, but one of the best things you can do is going forward, be better than you are now. do better. Start mm-hmm. learning and learning about consent. Educate yourself. Practice it to the best of your abilities. Know you're going to fuck up because we all fuck up. You know, and do not assume that somebody who's not saying something is 100% comfortable with what you're doing. I mean, there's so much, and I could talk for 2 more hours about this, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
I told y'all I was gonna rant. I'm really glad I wore, none of y'all can see this, podcast listeners, of course you can't. I'm wearing my short shorts that look like I'm not actually wearing shorts because it's really warm where we record. But yeah. Also, I am almost sweating through this shirt from the Rams.
I believe it.
Okay.
I think we both had a little something to say about this.
I know. And I don't think... None of this can be fixed overnight. It's a cultural thing, a societal thing. To do the best you can as an individual. Support the people who tell you about these things. Do not dismiss them because your experience of that person is they seem okay. We each have our own unique experiences with different people. And just because your experience was a positive one does not mean that they are incapable of creating a negative mm-hmm. experience with somebody else. Okay. Yeah. I cannot give answers about what to do about any of it because I'm not that wise. I know kind of what I would do. But that's me, and I know that that is based on my own past, my own comfort level, my own anxiety, and the fact that I have a John Brownstone, and we don't have a John Brownstone. And even then...
Clone me.
God, I would make so much money if I could clone your ass. Oh, my God, I would make so much money. I could just record podcasts all the time is all I'd have to fucking do. I wouldn't have to do anything else. I'd just make money off of your clones. Oh, yes, I'm here for that.
All right.
I wanted us to talk about it. I wanted it to be clear where we stand on these mm-hmm. issues. I want people to know if you're going through it, that it might feel, quote, normal because it's happening to you a lot. It is not normal. It is not okay. There are those of us who are like, ha, no, that's not fucking okay. And hopefully you have safe people in your life you can confide to, just even if it's just a vent and go, God, oh, this person. And if you are not in that position, but you are in the position to learn about somebody in your community who's doing that gross boundary crossing, non-consensual, but right up to the edge where it might be illegal. It's questionable, just questionable stuff. Do not immediately dismiss the story just because you have a positive experience with that person. People are complex. You can be a really great person 75% of the time and 25% of the time be a total shit. It is possible. Mm-hmm. It's called nuance. So just, you know, be mindful of that. If you are out in the community as a coupled person and you're not having these DM conversations and being approached and dealing with these people that, you know, I don't mean to mistrust everybody you come across. Just know that not everybody is having the same experience with that great person that you are. Necessarily. Yeah. So
okay. I think we could talk for days and days on this.
I really thought I wouldn't say it because I didn't want to jinx us, but I really thought this would be a short episode. I lied to myself. I know. So I don't say it anymore. All okay, right, we do have a bonus section, so there
we
go.
Good?
I'll let somebody else decide that.
Okay.
Okay. Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Hey, Daddy, can I talk to the crickets, please?
You need to give me just a little bit more time to get my numbers with my tired old eyes, baby girl.
You know, what we need is to get you new glasses so you can see those numbers. I can't see them either. We both need new glasses.
And yes, you can talk to the crickets, and you. I need to excuse myself.
Oh, yes, you're wearing pants. You can get up. I cannot get up until this camera goes off because I'm telling you, these shorts look like I'm not wearing anything, and I have no shame about that. Okay, bonus section for video watchers, because I forgot to say this at the beginning, because I was like ready to kind of get into this topic, I think, even though I took a while to get into it, but still, y'all know me. If you'll give the video a like if you're enjoying it, that would be great. If you'd subscribe to the channel, that'd be great. It's up to you if you hit the notification bell or not. Podcast listeners, I have a feeling many of you blank right through the intro, so I'll just do that. It's a little friendly reminder. If the app you use to listen to the podcast has a review thing, like I know, you know, Apple Podcast does, we would love reviews. Those help the mysterious algorithms of podcasts and more people find us, like we rise to the top. My dream, at least on Apple Podcasts, is to one day see the Loving BDSM logo in the top 20 or top 10 or top whatever for the sex podcast. That would be my dream, but we have a lot of competition with some bigger podcasts ahead of us. Okay, so there's all that. A reminder for anybody who blanked out on this and we've talked for a long time, thank you to The Cage for sponsoring today's episode and the next few episodes, so you will get to hear more about The Cage. We really appreciate that. And what do I have to say about from the bonus section? Oh, I do want to thank our patrons, our kink patrons. That would be the fabulous Lorana, Lauren James, CDC, Sir and Her 78, and B. Thank you. Okay, I've done all of the housekeeping, bookkeeping stuff. I've pretended to be a professional. What do I have to say in the bonus section this week? I have to say that I went on a anxiety bender. If that is such a thing. Maybe I just made that up. I don't know. Oh, this has been a week or two of pure anxiety. No reason. Nothing like major happened. Just my brain went, you know what? It's been a while since you panicked over nothing here. So I have, and I'm still kind of going through. You can walk in front of the camera. Podcast listeners can't tell you're walking in front of the camera.
It's different seeing it from this side.
Well, come see it from this side. Sit next to me, please. Pure panic over nothing. It's still happening. The brain is still a little bit on the fritz. I am feeling a little bit better now because we've recorded this. Mm-hmm. I do know that some of it was my imposter syndrome. For anybody who might not be aware of that, I know it's a buzz term that you see on the internet a lot. Basically, that feeling of not being good enough or not really deserving whatever you have, or somebody's going to call you out as being a fraud in whatever thing you're trying to say you know how to do. I have felt that a lot lately, this week especially, because I started some new stuff with clients that I have not done before. But I went, yeah, sure, I could totally do that.
And you can.
I can do it. I know I can.
You are very capable of it.
Also, I know how to use the Google. If anybody is ever like, I think I want to one day work for myself, how do you do that? There are a lot of things that go into that, but one of the things in the list is
the Google.
Is saying, yeah, sure, I can do that, and then Googling the fuck out of it. Because I have agreed to a lot of things that I had a vague idea of how that might work,
and then I Googled it. And YouTube.
And YouTube. Well, these days, if you Google something, a YouTube video will come up in search. So there's that. So, cheeky Meg says they would send me hugs, but they're afraid to. I always accept virtual hugs, but I used to, you don't even have to ask, sure, because virtual hugs, you're not actually touching me. It's just a sentiment, and I love that.
Well, here, what about if I do this?
Well, that's lovely. That's lovely, except it's hot, and your body heat is emanating, and it's touching me. I know. But speaking of virtual hugs, I used to just, sprinkle my virtual hugs all over the fucking internet. And then even I went, oh, some people don't always even want the virtual ones. So I always say, hugs offered, if you'd like them. And then I wait for the person to go, yes, please, I would like some virtual hugs. But I will accept all non-creepy virtual hugs. Creepy is... I'm fucking this up left and right. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have one thing I would love to talk about, but I can't talk about it publicly yet because it's a surprise for somebody else. And so I have to wait till after it happens to be able to talk about it. Saturday? Saturday. Yes. Oh, no. I should not sing. You can always tell how happy I am about
something. Look, the people are dropping.
Stop. No. You can always tell how happy I am about something because I start to just sing when I know that I cannot carry a tune in a bucket. I do it at the dinner table. I also dance when the food's really good. And I'll just walk around just singing and just knowing it's awful, but I'll do it. I'm mostly just an anxious mess this week and just putting one foot in front of the other. Mm-hmm. I am finding some, I think, mostly positive coping mechanisms. So one is a book we've got from the library that's the a new book in a series that we both enjoy, that we are both reading or have read the series now, and it's my turn to read the book before it goes back to the library. And so when I felt myself feeling really, really anxious today, sitting at my desk, which is not where I ever want to feel anxious, I went, I don't have anything I have to do right now. I'm going to go read this book that truly had me literally LOLing while I was reading it. And I was like, that's what I'm going to do. And then we'll come back to this other stuff later, because I have control over my schedule like that. So that was helpful. So yeah, what have you got? Because I don't have anything.
Since you brought it up, you know, we're both avid readers. And this, if you, one of the reasons I love the book series, it's steampunk. It's an element of steampunk with vampires,
there's werewolves, fantasy element,
and ghosts.
And the Victorian era.
Victorian era.
Using very Victorian descriptions and language and mannerisms, and it is fucking hilarious.
It is hilarious.
And everybody always lives.
The writer, her name is Gail Carriger.
Yes.
And she has three series. There is the Solus.
That's the Parasol Protectorate.
Right.
First book in it is called Solus.
Finishing School.
Which we have not read
yet. We have not read yet. And the Custard Protocol.
The Custard Protocol is about a dirigible. It's floating in the ether, and they're going on adventures. The people in this dirigible are painted like a ladybug, and they're going on steampunky adventures with werewolves and werecats and weremonkeys and vampires. And it is, this author is so good. Every single book I've read by her so far, and I'm now in the ninth book I've read by her. We're going to go own these books. Like, we've been getting them from the library. I want to own them because these books are so good. They are brain candy.
They
just make me relax whenever I read them. I want to own them.
The books to me that I would compare these to, I don't know how many of you are familiar with Piers Anthony, the Xanth series, the Xanth books. I love those books. Those books are, he writes with puns. Which is what attracted me to it.
Oh, we know.
And those books at the time when I read most of them helped me actually through a very dark period of my life.
Because they're light and funny. They're
light and funny
and
fluffy. And I love them. And the way Gail Carriger writes, not the same, but I get the same.
It's the same
feel.
Vibe. Yeah,
it's the same feel.
When I was
the
a kid,
vibe.
I read Piers Anthony until the puns became too much. I can't fucking do this anymore. But yeah, they're fun and they're lighthearted and they're telling a story. What I really love about the series we've read, the Parasol Protectorate and the Custard Protocol, is that it is very much open. So in the current series, the Custard Protocol. You have gay relationships and lesbian relationships, and would you say that one character is transgender or intersex? I'm not sure which, but either their gender is not clear. They present one way, but then there's very subtle ways of describing the fact that, they don't have the anatomy you would assume that gender has, that kind of thing. And there's no, let me tell you all about this and why you need to. It is just, it's accepted. It's just like, this is who they are. And they, because it's a Victorian time period, even though, and steampunk, even though it's very futuristic-y kind of steampunk, they acknowledge that society doesn't always like it, but this cast of characters goes, yep, we accept you for who you are, and great, love who you love. And it's, there's a bit of romance, there's tons of humor. Oh my God, it's so good. It is. Yeah. And there are very few books or series that I will gladly reread. This is one of them. I'm finishing up the most recent book. There's another series by the author that's in the same universe that we want to read. I'm looking at the book right now. Mm-hmm. People watching on the video are like, where is she looking? I'm looking at the book. but I want to own these books and put them on our bookshelf we don't have yet, and be able to pick one up and just read it because it's just this happy book.
Yeah.
And I was reading after we finished, after I finished the first series, and went to the author's website, and she had done interviews and she's got writings on her website, and she said, I want a happy book where people don't die and things get sorted out and they go through stuff and there's, you know, there's adventure and there's all that. But I just want a book that makes people smile and makes them happy. And I'm reading this stuff on our website going, these books do.
And Yarn Whiskey mentioned Terry Pratchett. Yeah, I loved him. And Mother's Jim Butcher and the Harry Dresden. Yes, those were such good books too.
That's right. A lot of those.
Okay. All right. But so, you know, yes, a lot of good stuff out there. But as far as me, I have been diligently working on the motorcycle.
Yeah.
I did take this week off of that for a little bit, but I have all the parts that I need for my bike now.
So you're gonna like.
So now I get to reassemble.
Gotcha. Okay, and then test and see and then, just how bad
then,
it is.
Then test and see how just how bad it is, and then I'll have to get it in the shop to have the little fine tuning and stuff done that I don't have the tools or ability to do.
And then we will get our asses back on the motorcycle.
Damn straight.
And you will take me for a ride, and I will look hot in my jeans and my boots. Yes, we did see, we were at our local flea market, which is a massive fucking flea market around here. It was too hot. We couldn't stay very long to really look around, but we found a booth or whatever they call it at the flea market where it was like a motorcycle place with jackets, gloves.
Jackets, vests, and...
And there was a helmet, and it was the perfect color. It was purple with swirly designs.
Yes.
And we went to try it on, and my head was too big. Actually, it's not my head that was the problem. It's the helmet was too fucking small.
Yeah.
But I was like, but this is the perfect helmet for me, because I've been using one of his old helmets for years.
So when we go back, we'll have to see if... he can get it in your size. And
purple. Could you see me going down the highway on the back of the motorcycle with my purple ass helmet on? The only thing I would need, besides a leather jacket that actually fits, because the leather jacket gets to the side of my boobs, not even like the nipples, like the side of my tits, and just stops. And my arms can get in the leather jacket, but they cannot then bend in any way that's helpful. So I either like need to drop 20 pounds, which that's not going to happen anytime soon, or I need a new leather jacket. And part of me is like, you know, oh, I want to do the classic black leather jacket. And part of me is like, but is purple an option?
An option?
I would totally go for a purple leather jacket.
And I have been doing a lot of work in the shop. Both kinky and non-kinky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Can I show them one of my keychains?
I think so. Yeah. We've talked about it in Patreon. Sure. We don't have them for sale yet. So, this is like... Kinky patrons have already kind of heard about it and seen pictures. But now if you are a podcast listener, if you would like to see what he is talking about, go to youtube.com/lovingBDSM. So fast forward an hour and something.
I have started making... I'm going to hold these up and...
Hopefully the camera will actually... You might have to get closer.
Okay, so let's see. They are anal plug keychains.
Keychains. So they're teeny tiny little plugs. Do not put them up your butt.
No, they are not meant to be used.
They are just
anal plug keychains. And, they're cute little things.
They are cute little things.
Cute little things.
They are cute little things. And, I want them to make paddles next.
I wonder if... make them into earrings.
I was about to say I'd like to meet the person who would wear butt plug earrings, but I know some of y'all. I think I already know people who would wear butt plug earrings. I'm just saying.
And I have met a wood turner here locally, and as of this recording, the day before, I went... to his shop and spent some time with him, more than half a day actually, teaching me some of his techniques and different things, one of which includes segment and turning. And I am very, very intrigued with that. Some beautiful, beautiful stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can't wait to see what, when you take the lessons that he's giving you and apply it in your own way, what you create.
Yeah.
I think there'll be some interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a way to apply it to some of the kinky fuckery things you do.
Absolutely.
Ooh, that'd be some gorgeous shit.
Well, even doing a segmented paddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, add a nice variation to your paddles, mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm, mm-hmm. you know, playing, experimenting, and, you know, would mean to retool a little bit, but, that's, you know.
Yeah. Sell some shit, and I will support it fully.
I'm trying.
I know, we've already got, yeah. at least in the live chat, because podcast listeners haven't weighed in yet, they haven't heard this yet, at least 3 people who are begging for the paddle keychains, like I've been begging for.
Okay.
So whatever I got to do to help facilitate that.
All right.
So everybody know that I am working on your behalf over here.
Okay, I'll have to start coming up with something, seeing what I can. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm, all right. Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah.
That's us. And, what else is going on?
I don't know if she's still here, but earlier on, Marianne asked if we ever thought about doing talks or workshops on consent.
Oh yeah, that's what triggered my anxiety. Also, on top of everything else.
Yes. And I have kind of been twisting your arm a little bit. I've sent you a few things that I've
promptly ignored.
Yes.
I keep them on unread, so they're not completely ignored. I can't forget about
keeping
them
unread is pretty much ignoring.
It means
them.
I can go find them again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple of organizations that would be happy to let us talk.
Right, and they are very local to us.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except every time, here's what's funny. Here's what's maybe not funny. Here's what's, I don't know. Sitting down with you guys every weekend, turning on a microphone, sometimes pulling a topic out of my ass 10 minutes before the mics go on, I can do because at this point, 190 episodes in, yes, that is where we're at. if you're here and you've been here for more than an episode or two, you kind of know what to expect because we're pretty consistent in our whatever we are.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can talk about anything because there's like this understanding of like, this is who we are. This is kind of what we believe. When you're new, I'm sure it's a little like, what is going on here the first time? But by the second or third time, you kind of get the rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
But to go and we can talk about almost anything. And I know that it's part of the journey we're all on together because something we're talking about today relates back to something we talked about 2 or 3 years ago, right? When I think about going in to give a presentation, we have to come up with a topic and kind of stick to it and think we know what a group of people who may or may not know us at all might want to hear about. And that just, all the anxiety. It's that volcanic eruption of panic. It just starts in the belly and moves up. And I'm like, what? And then knowing that any topic, and what a lot of people say is any topic. Oh, no. Okay. Well, that means, what do I do? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe it? Like, I just, and am I overthinking it? Of course I'm overthinking it. I'm aware that I'm overthinking it because I overthink everything. But also, it just makes me all panicky. Just trying to think of a topic. Not the standing up in front of people. Not that does not make me panicky. It would make me nervous the day of. The first time I do it with a new group, I'm always a little nervous. But I've done it before. I've done it professionally. I've done it with my sex blogger community. That's fine. It's something about trying to decide that I know what a group needs to hear about and mm-hmm. that we are the ones to talk about it in a way that presents the information in an interesting, informative, and clear way. And that's when I go, no, I don't. Are we really capable of that? I don't know. And what topic? And it's just, I overthink it.
Yeah.
I know. And then there's the inevitable, would a group of basic, I know there'd be people who would know us. We know people in our local community who would probably come out, and even if they didn't normally go to that, they would go just to support us. But it's like, do we go up to the front of the room and just do what we do here, where one of us named Kayla is always talking over the other one of us? Or would we have to practice it to like figure out how we're going to deliver this? And what? Oh God. I can feel the panic rising. I can't do it. I mean, I will. I know eventually I will, but I got to panic about it first.
And yes, Cheeky Meg, she is the rambling submissive.
Right. And so who wants to go to their group and meet this random person named Kayla Lords who will ramble her way through 90 minutes? And real presenters usually have worksheets. I don't want... I know, but you married me. For podcast listeners, John Brownstone raised his hand. But as I reminded you, you married me, and there are no refunds or exchanges on this. So you better want to hear me ramble. And I won't be like a real presenter. I don't do worksheets. I don't do handouts. Like, I just go up and I talk. And I don't know how that's helpful to a munch or a group that meets specific for education. Like, it's, I'm overthinking it because I will just have to do that until my head explodes.
Yeah. And then I get to pick up the pieces.
Yes, that's your job. That's what you married into. And I will remind you that you knew that was your job before we ever even thought of marriage. So, cannot say there were not full disclosures about all of whatever this is that you got yourself entangled with. Which is why I know that I'm one of those people that other people go, oh, no, I do not need that much in my life. Okay.
Now, see, there are a lot of people in the chat saying that they would be on board.
I know. And see, on one level, that would really put me at ease, because then I would be like, oh, when I became hashtag rambling submissive, there'd at least be people in the room would be like, yeah, that's who she is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I said earlier at some point in this long rambly thing that my imposter syndrome had been kicking my butt this week. And this is part of it. I know we will, because it's something you want to do. It's something I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to I have to go through the blizzard of overthinking.
Yeah.
Then I come out the other side, dig myself out of all that overthinking. And then we make a plan, we go forward. We're just not there. It's a process. I know who I am. I get it.
So. All right. We need to wrap up.
Yes.
Because I have to go fetch a boy soon.
Are we talking that one?
Yeah. And I need to turn this back into a living room and not a recording studio.
And I haven't actually had lunch yet.
No, you haven't.
And we record at noon. I have had a lot of coffee. I don't know why I'm talking so fast. All the coffee.
Nope. Now you're dropping stuff.
And now I'm dropping the, this thing called coaster?
Mm-hmm.
I know. My IKEA coasters that have lasted 5 years now.
There you go.
My IKEA table that's lasted 5 years.
Yes.
Yeah. And... Okay, that's it. I could keep talking. I said this earlier. This is like my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really grateful for you guys. I know that I would talk even if nobody showed up, but it certainly helps when somebody shows up, and I'm glad y'all showed up. I don't care if you watch during the live stream or you listen to the podcast in fits and spurts, because I know we go on for a while, or you watch the video later. I don't care how you watch it. I'm just so glad you're here.
Yes.
And that you go, yeah, yep, that bitch is crazy, but we like that kind of crazy. I am so grateful for that. And yeah, so I guess that's it for us.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right.
We love you guys.
We love you. Thanks for joining us and listening to us and
talking to us in whatever way you talk to us, whether that's through the live chat, during the live stream, or you message us, or you tweeted us, or whatever. I don't always get back to people as quickly as I would like, but I'm just glad that you're out there and you're talking to us.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.